Good morning to EMP. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to read from verse 1 to 24. We're going to read from verse 1 to 26. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, as it were to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles who am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believed. Now if Christ has preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, your faith also is vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we witness against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers up the kingdom to the God, to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. Amen. Amen. I was just thinking of this passage as I was reading it yesterday, and it was just a reminder of kind of the mode and the mindset that we're constantly to be reminded of. Consider the Israel, for their culture and their history, the prophecy of the Messiah coming, right? And consider like, in that season, before Jesus came, in the flesh and as a baby, people are anxious, people are waiting, and when is this Jesus going to come? When is this Messiah going to come? And sure enough, he comes in the flesh, incarnate, and lives out 33 years, and dies on the cross, brings the Holy Spirit for his people. And here we are, and a lot of ways, very similar, right? Here we are, in a season, and sometimes it's like, well, when is Jesus coming back? When is the second coming? I'm doing all these things and I'm living for him, but I'm so anxious. A lot of times, I sit at home and whatnot, and through difficulties or struggles or whatnot, and I'm just waiting. Jesus, when are you coming back? And in a lot of ways, we share in that same struggle. We share in that same hope. And one, Jesus came back. Right? Jesus came in the flesh. And for people who were waiting and anxious, we have that same hope and confidence and that same sort of striving and reminder that we need to be and live and act in such a way that we're not so, focused or distracted on just temporary, muddled things. But man, we have the hope of Christ who once came and is coming again. Amen? And as I was reading this passage, a couple things that I had been studying that was kind of, actually a pastor kind of, I heard it from him, he kind of coined it. But basically, we know the history of you know, why God created us, right? What was the purpose of us? You know, we're nice little humans. We look, you know, we're kind of like a action figurines or whatnot, right? And he didn't just create angels, you know, or robots that would automatically praise or automatically serve or do. But here's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I kind of talked about this in our GIC this last Friday. But here they are in perfect relationship, right? They don't need to create man. They don't need to, you know, create anything outside. They live in perfect unity, perfect fellowship, perfect love. And yet, at the same time, they want us to share in their experience. They want us to share in that fellowship in some way. And so they create us not like angels who just reflect or give, but they create us in their image, right? So that we can share. In some ways, we could share in their glory. And I'll get to that in a little bit. And so they create Adam and Eve, and you know, I won't get too into it, but they give them a choice. They give them freedom, which the angels not necessarily didn't have in the sense of the tree of the garden, or the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. And they don't, God doesn't put it somewhere far where they don't have access, where they don't have that choice, but it's right there in the center where every day is a testament to their obedience and love to God. And so that's broken, right? Given that dominion, given that authority, given that choice, it's broken. And here's the neat part, and 2 points I'll make here. We're so precious to them. Like, we're made in God's image. We're made in their image, and we're so precious to them that which existed, in which they created us for us to experience, they were willing to break. Do you see that? They're willing to break in order to reconcile us back to them. And what I mean by that is Christ leaves, right, heaven. He leaves his mode or form or whatnot. And this was a neat part, you know, when I came to this revelation, is that when he left, he came in flesh, right? I mean, think of it in these terms. When you give something that you never get back, whether it's your time, right? Whether it's your energy. But at the same time, there's a transformation in you that occurs that never leaves you the same. Right? So, you know, you may be contemplating, well, you know, can I commit to this ministry? You know, and it's going to require, you know, giving and time and sacrifices, things that you may never get back. But at the same time, God does a transforming work in you in a way such that, man, you'll never be the same. But that's a step of faith that you take. And so here Christ is in this perfect relationship, and they create us in their image, and we break it, right, through sin and disobedience. And they're willing to break this perfect fellowship, man. This thing that they wanted us to experience in the first place. Jesus leaves, comes down to never be the same again in the sense that he comes in the form of flesh, right? And here's the interesting part. When he lives out his 33 years of life and he dies and you know, he forgives our sins and he's resurrected, it's not like, okay, you know, hands patted off. Okay, I'm done with my work. Let me go back to, you know, where I was before. He doesn't go back, you know, he doesn't transform from flesh back into what he was. He actually goes through what? What does Christ receive? He gets a glorified, resurrected body, right? And this passage that we read, it talks about Adam being the first fruits of us, right? God creates Adam, which is the first fruits of who we are in line. Then Christ, he comes to abolish sin, to defeat death. And when he's resurrected, they give him that same term, right? The first fruits of those who will to come. Essentially, what Adam was to us, in that we follow in his line, in his makeup, Christ, when he's resurrected, glorified, resurrected body, right? We now follow in the line of who Christ is. And so when I mean that he left and he was transformed, and then he goes back, he's not going back in the same form that he left. In some ways, you could say, you know, forever transformed, right? In his giving, in his serving, right? In his sacrifice. It's something you can't really get back, right? Whether it's our time, energy, resources. And so Christ goes back. And so, you know, I thought that's exciting. You know, I shared about this before. So much of our decisions that we make today are based on death, right? If you really think about it, right? So much of what we do and what we say is determined by our fear of death. Okay, well, you don't want to eat too much. Well, why not? Right? Is this good? Tastes good, man. Eat all you want, right? Eat a Wagyu steak for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. What's going to happen? Your body eventually is going to break down. Well, who cares if it breaks down? Well, because what? It has everything to do with death. I don't want to live so far away from my mom or my dad. Well, why not? Because what if they pass away and I didn't have that time with them? You know, I got to start going to the gym. You know, same thing. You know, physical, you know, health or whatnot. You know, job. I got to take care of this. I want to take this job and not this job. Why? Because I want to make a certain amount of living. Because I want to have a certain amount of standard. And at, you know, end of life, I want to be able to have accomplished certain. You see how everything is you know, or parameterized by time. So much of the decisions we make is based on death. And it says here that Christ defeated death. And the last enemy, so on the cross, he defeated sin and he defeated death, but we're still waiting for him to come back, right? So that we, and then in turn, get our glorified, resurrected bodies. And isn't that awesome? Isn't that exciting? And so the point of the message I'm making today, you know, turn to Philippians, actually. Philippians 4:2. And just a couple points here. It's actually a simple passage. 1:2, I'll read it for you. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, so stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Judea and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. And my point is real simple. You know, struggles and strife and people not getting along, it's not a Solomon's porch issue. It's not a modern-day church issue. You know, from the get-go, first century church, that's the same struggles. It's inevitable. Relationships, dynamics, people, sin. We're not meant to be, without flaw or without perfection. We strive towards it. And, you know, consider, you know, I came up with these thoughts. Consider this, that in a raging war, right, on the front line, right, how ridiculous would it be in the middle of a war, right, with your enemy right before you, right in front of your eyes, literally projecting and shooting things right past you to knock you out, to take you out of the picture. How ridiculous is, you know, as you're in combat, to complain about the person on your right. Man, I don't like how he ties his shoes. Those things don't matter. When you're focused on two things, one, the attacks of the enemy, two, the end goal of what Christ has called you to and the church. When those two things become the focus, then man, your comrades are your comrades. Your brothers and sisters, for all their flaws, for all their weaknesses, man, you need them, we need them. We're on the same page, we're on the same team, we're going after the same goal. But do you see where the problem comes in? Do you see where the enemy totally gets at you? When you're not focused on the goal, when you're not focused on the prize, when you devalue or totally, you know, neglect the attacks and the warfare spiritually that's going on, then man, the next best thing to do is just start picking on your church members and their flaws or whatnot. And so really the point is to remain focused. To, you know, Paul will say to remain focused on the prize, right? And to be aware of the spiritual conflict that is going around us. And I've given this illustration before, you know, in Uzbekistan. And if I think back in so many ministry opportunities where here's a fleshly situation between me and a person, so to say. And I'm trying to do ministry, and I have certain ideas and whatnot, and there's conflict. And literally, this person is getting into my flesh to the point where in my flesh and in my mind, I say, if this or this or this happens one more time, I'm out of here. I'm so not a part of this. And there I am operating in my flesh. And the moment I realize, man, this is not between me and him or me and this situation or what I'm wearing or what the, you know, air temperature or whatnot. The moment I realize that there's something going on in the spirit, I address it, I focus on it, I pray on it, and it's broken. And I could care less what this person or that person, not that I don't love them, but I know that there's a spiritual assignment and calling that God had for me that night. And sure enough, I disregard or just focus on God and you know, not on the details. I go through it and you know, sure enough, you know, a handful of people come up and raise their hand and they get saved that night. And man, to think that I allowed what was happening here to disrupt or to negate completely what God was trying to do up here with individuals. Do you see how that works? And so the moment I recognized that, I prayed over it, and sure enough, you know, so my charge is, you know, what's going on at church? You know, what's going on with people in your circle, in your house church? You know, what's going on with your best friend? Or you know, could it be that there's something that God wants to connect up here that the enemy knows is going to happen and going to bring great fruit and transformation? And so he's trying to get you to focus on this, and that doesn't happen, right? And then sure enough, the blessing that God had prepared in advance doesn't come through. So we have to be on guard, right? Paul says, man, we're not, you know, we don't get involved in, you know, civilian matters, right? We're soldiers. We're trained. We're fit. We're focused. You know, we pray. We seek in his scriptures. We're constantly getting connected with him. Amen? So let me close with one thought, sorry. And, you know, that's why I love, you know, communion, right? And I've shared this before. You know, there was a pastor here who was visiting who I happen to know was not, charismatic or into signs, wonders, gifts, or whatnot. In fact, he was as strict as could be in terms of, you know, his beliefs. And he was a father of one of the members here at church. And I just happened to be sitting in the back, and, you know, Pastor Sam was preaching, you know, as normal and whatnot, and talking about word of knowledge or prophecy and stuff. And you know, things and whatnot, people would laugh at. And this guy was so stoic, would not budge. And I was like, oh, man, this guy must be, like, burning up inside. And sure enough, you know, an hour passes and all whatnot. You know, I can see them kind of talking. I don't know what they're talking about. It's just, you know, making up stuff. And communion comes. And I'm thinking, man, I'm actually thinking this. Man, this guy, his theology is so like north and south of what we're doing here and what we believe. Man, I wonder if this guy's even going to partake, right? Is this guy even going to come to the table, right? And to be honest, you know, in hindsight, it's quite elementary thinking. But I, you know, at the time, I was like, man, this guy, you know, probably opposes everything that, you know, some of the teachings or whatnot. And sure enough, you know, he's sitting at the back, first row, second row, and they all go. And sure enough, at the end, you know, the tray comes. And he takes of the, you know, wafer of the bread, the body of Christ, and he takes of the cup. And when Pastor Sam says, you know, as a body of Christ, you know, so-and-so, and we all take it together. And man, that was so humbling. And man, I was, basically, everyone comes to the table, right? Man, it doesn't matter if you're a pastor or if you're a newborn believer. Right? It doesn't matter if you've been serving in the church 30 years or if you just came into the door yesterday. It doesn't matter if you're in this type of, you know, this side of the spectrum of theology, signs and wonders, or that side. Man, Christ instituted an activity, such a fellowship, that man, everyone comes to the table humbly. Right? You don't come with your badges. You don't come with your, you know, knowledge. You don't come with, you know, your standards or I did this better. Everyone comes humbly to the table. And the more I, you know, I went home that night, and the more I thought about it, the more I thought, man, Jesus is so, I mean, he's God, right? But man, he knows us so well, right? He knows the heart of men and women so well. The dividing, divisive, the schemes of the enemy. And I was even there one time in the back, and I was in such a bad mood or disagreement. But even, you know, as we were doing communion, man, it was like a tractor beam, right? Like my heart, my flesh says, you know, I don't want to participate because I'm upset or whatnot. But the Spirit of God says, man, I died for you. My body was broken for you, for him, for her, for this person. How can you deny that fact? And everything, even against my flesh, even if I didn't have the heart to forgive or whatnot, I could not deny the life, the power of Christ's death and resurrection. Amen? Okay, now let's pray. Let's bow our heads. to spend some time in meditation as Pastor Nate prepares to lead us in a song. And just consider is there an area of sacrifice, you know, of giving that's been just really, for whatever reason, it's been really difficult for you to do. You know, have you been, you know, calculating, you know, counting the costs or whatnot, which is not a bad thing. And I just want you to come and just meditate. And Lord, how can I give? Yeah, I'm going to lose some stuff. I'm going to lose some time. I'm going to lose some convenience. I'm going to be troubled at, you know, it's not always going to work in my timing, the things that I have planned for the month or for the week. But could it be that in your giving, in your sacrifice, that God is wanting to do a transforming work in your life? And secondly, just meditate as we're going to go into the song. You know, are we focusing on the prize? Or are we getting weighed down and muddled down by the little things? You know, are we disregarding the attacks of the enemy, which are real and pointed and lethal and waiting around every corner, every relationship, every little talk with friends? Or are we focused on the prize? Are we celebrating our brothers and sisters in arms in this war? Or are we bickering at the way they shoot? So let's just meditate on those things as Pastor Nate leads us in a song of worship.
Ten thousand years.
Let's pray for our ministry leaders in the church. You know, all those who have stepped up, all those who have counted the cost, and all those who have decided to give and to sacrifice, you know, things that they may never get in return. But at the same time, we know that, you know, it can be a struggle, you know, leading people. Let's just pray for grace and covering, you know, over our worship ministry leaders, welcoming men's ministries, women's ministry. Our house church leaders today is Conduit Road is meeting, and Pacific Place is meeting tonight, and your house church leaders as well. And Kennedy Road is meeting tonight. Let's pray for you know, media, right? Let's really pray for them. Pray for your pastors. Pastor Sam is in a conference the next 2 weeks. You know, pastoral nurturing. Let's just really pray, man. You know. The enemy is constantly attacking and constantly going at their family, no doubt, the things that are most meaningful to him. So let's just pray covering over that he come back refreshed, recharged, rejuvenated, you know, come back to lead, to bless, and to serve. You know, let's pray for our IP ministry leader. You know, just pray for all the people who stepped up and come into position of leadership. Let's just pray covering over them. You know, people that have especially impacted you. Let's just pray over them. Let's cover them. Let's start praying. You know, missions doesn't start. Our missions, official summer missions trips don't start till June. But applications and people will probably start getting stuff out end of March, maybe even early April. So let's just pray over the trips that as a church that we believe God is calling us towards. Pray over the mission board we're meeting this coming Sunday. Just pray for guidance, direction. You know, half of our budget goes there. It's you know, we put our faith where our money where our mouth is, you know, and we really want to expand God's kingdom. We want to be, you know, a handful of what, seven people, right? That we would just live openly and in humility, be able to hear what God is calling. And so we have a couple trips, Cambodia, Indonesia. I'm actually going end of this month on a vision trip to flesh out details of what will be our summer trip. There's a potential trip to Israel, as we did last year. There's a Fujian trip. This year, Uzbekistan is not going to happen. But let's pray for the ones that God is calling us to, and there may be another one or two that come up. So let's just pray over the planning, the preparation. You know, even now, you know, God already knows the people that are going to be going on these teams and the dynamics thereof. And so let's just really pray in faith and sow these seeds now in faith, right? Months in advance. Let's just cover these trips, cover the people, cover the planning and the leaders that are putting. So let's just cover and pray for our missions. Lastly, let's pray for our building search. Let's just pray for our steering committee. Let's pray for Janice and all the members there. In you know, they all have great responsibilities, you know, fundraising, legal areas. So let's just cover our steering committee. Let's pray covering over our land, right? I mean, pray like we have it, like it's already ours. Pray over our land and for the releasing thereof. Lord, give us our land, God, that we may build and extend your kingdom here in Hong Kong. So let's just pray covering and just all the, you know, the timing, all the details. You know, I tell you, the probably the greatest accomplishment at the end of all this won't be that we got land. I mean, that part's easy, right? We believe in God. But it's the hearts of people that have been changed in the process. The measures and steps of faith that people had to take, right? You know, the humility and having to work with people and you know, church as a whole. That's going to be the true gem that comes out of all this, right? It's a journey of a people, right? It's a journey of a faith community walking together, you know? And that's what God is getting at. You know, the building is secondary, honestly, because God's going to bring it. You know, we have complete faith in that. So let's just pray for that. Pray for all those involved. Pray for the church. One voice, one mind, one heart, right? And the unity that comes in the Spirit. Okay, let's pray covering over that. Let me just close with this thought. You know, I was just thinking, you know, kind of like a slab of stone or something, and a sculptor kind of sculpts away at it, and eventually, you know, an artist creates not a mannequin, but a sculpture. And, you know, with every trial or test, you know, we're refined and we're sharpened. And as a church, you know, as we're going into this journey of a building search, you know, I know who's gifted in worship. I know who's gifted in welcoming and whatnot. You know, and people have different ministries. And I've seen the church in the last 3 years. But then I see us going into another mode, another season. It's like God is refining our church. He's like chipping away. And I'm observing people's gifts coming out in different ways that I haven't seen before. It's like it's getting refined, sharpened, and I'm seeing people who, yeah, they served in this capacity, but now in this building search is such a, you know, task and whatnot, you know, a measure of faith that we have to take. And I'm seeing pockets of people forming, you know, kind of like coming together to wield a type of weapon against the enemy or whatnot. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see the church growing and people, I don't know, like their tactical gifts or whatnot, spiritual gifts or whatnot are coming into play. And so it's amazing. So let me just close with that thought. Father, we thank you, God, so much for this church. God, we thank you for your favor on us. God, you're always wanting to just lavish us, Lord. God, and Lord, we want to build your kingdom, God. We don't want to build our name, God. We don't want to build a facility, God. We want to build your kingdom, God. We want to have access to people that we don't have access to now. And God, I just thank you for the amazing work. Sure, growing pains, no doubt, God, but I just praise you, Lord, for the transforming work that you're doing in people's lives as they're giving, God, as they're struggling, even you know, as they're sacrificing, and you know, things that they're never going to get back. And Christ, we thank you so much that you've modeled that for us so perfectly. Lord, that you gave Lord, that you are in some ways, you know, whether physically or whatnot, makeup, you know, transformed forever in some ways. And God, we thank you, God, that we can share in that, that we can share in your, you know, resurrected, glorified body. God, that you are, Lord Jesus, that you are the first fruits of what we will become. And Lord, like people waited for Christmas forever, but it happened. And Christmas is like, you know, the best celebration of the year. And Lord, I don't even know what we're going to name and how we're going to celebrate the second coming, but I know it's going to be forever, and I know it's going to be good. And we bless your name, God, because we have this faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful day, guys.